There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. And today we actually have a very special guest, Barrett Elizabeth. Hey, Barrett, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And I'm extremely excited about the topic we're going to discuss today about emotional intelligence. So just a little bit about Barrett. Barrett is the creator and founder of Emotive Agility Training. As an emotive agility trainer, Barrett trains super-driven professionals become athletes of emotion, break free from anxiety, and increase confidence during the difficult conversations and presentations that shape the direction of their careers. Emotive Agility Training offers workshops and courses for professionals who face challenges such as situational anxiety, being labeled as too emotional, or a fear of public speaking. Barrett's last adventure, informed by her years of leadership experience across multiple industries, including fitness, finance, and sales. In the last decade, she has been director of sales and operations for 6 fitness franchise locations, a corporate sales trainer for a call center of 80 insurance agents, and most recently, a scale consultant for RentScale, advising property managers on how to grow and scale their companies. She now combines her professional experience with her longstanding passion for emotional wellness. Emotive agility training draws from theater exercise and body language strategies that professionals can use to develop emotional intelligence skills and succeed in situations such as interviewing, investor pitches, setting boundaries, and difficult conversations at work. So this is a great topic. We always discuss this in our company, Sean. Like, how do you teach emotional intelligence, right? So, Barrett, I want you to kind of give us a little more background on yourself and, you know, what is emotional intelligence and what led you to become certified?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm so excited to be talking about emotional intelligence inside the Wolf's Den.
Yes. This
is great.
And hopefully we demonstrate it. I don't know. Or we learn something.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to learn something today.
No, everybody has it. Just a matter of how much. Everyone's got it. You guys definitely got it. So, the way I came to be certified in emotional intelligence was through theater. Interestingly, I was studying my master's degree in psychology and theatrical directing.
Okay.
And I took this theater. I became trained in the theater technique that was so powerful to me. It was all about actors expressing their emotions with their body language. And wow. I would do the technique. Yeah. And this was like, you know, about 2010-ish. I was in school doing this technique. And I found that I could, just by expressing my emotions, I was able to access them better. I was able to dial up the volume of my emotions, dial down the volume of my emotion, and just really be more expressive and tuned in with what I was feeling. So I didn't care at all about using this for to direct a theater production.
Uh-huh.
Like personally, at the time, I'm an extrovert, very outgoing, and I found I was a lot more comfortable expressing certain emotions than I was others.
Wow.
Like particularly like negative emotions.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't like a thing in my family growing up. Like, you know, we don't cry, we don't express. So I was really the person that was like, everything's okay. It's fine. Everything's great. And I found this technique to be so powerful that I was like, this is a platform for personal development. I don't want to teach people how to perform plays with this. I want to teach people how to perform well in interview scenarios, in court, like in family conflict conversations, in, you know, performance reviews, investor pitches. So that led me to see, how can I tell people this is not just a theater technique? Like, how can I show the value of this. Uh-huh. And that's when I discovered emotional intelligence.
That's awesome. Give me an example. Like, can I ask real quick, or maybe you were going to talk about later, but we're rushing ahead. Give me an example of something you would do in your, like teaching it or your theater experience. Is there like, I guess, how do you do it? I
don't know. How do you recognize it?
How do you do it? How do you practice it?
Sean, it makes so much sense that you're asking that. Like, how do you actually practice this? Yeah. So we need to define it first, right? Okay. So you asked me, Joni, I didn't even answer your question. What is emotional intelligence? So what it is not a superpower, right? It is not a superpower. Emotional intelligence is literally your intelligence about your emotions. There's a lot of academic definitions. There's a lot of pop culture definitions of emotional intelligence. It all boils down to this. Emotional intelligence is the intersection of thought. Like, we have a Venn diagram, mm-hmm. and emotions are on one side and thoughts are the other. Mm-hmm. Your emotional intelligence is where those two overlap. Hmm. And the definition, the model of emotional intelligence that I follow, it has four branches. So I got certified in this technique, this assessment tech tool for emotional intelligence called the Meyer-Salovey-Caruso EI test. Uh-huh. You will love the acronym. It's Mesquite.
Especially from Texas. We love our
Mesquite is the acronym. So there's four branches, right? As I tell you these, it could answer your question a bit as to why these are important. Now, we can't measure everything about emotions. We can't be like, how good are you at this? How good are you at that? But there are certain things you can measure about emotions. And so when you think of it as an ability, we've got four main pillars. The first one is identifying emotion in others, like being able to identify what other people are expressing, mm-hmm. and also in yourself, which is often even harder than you think it would.
Right.
And then another one is, the second branch is generating emotions and predicting how those are going to impact the tone of the room.
Okay.
So this also has to do with empathy, which is a big one, which I want to talk about in a second. But to give you an example, like, let's say you're going to go into a meeting, you're in a leadership position, you're going to go into a meeting, and it's a sensitive topic. Like, I don't know, like, maybe someone on your board resigned in disgrace, right? So when you go in that meeting, let's say you know you're going to be the first person to speak, you can actually choose which emotion to set the tone there with. Mm-hmm. You know, are we going to start with humor and lighten the mood? Am I going to start with anger and show people how seriously we're taking this? Or am I going to start with confidence and show people we'll power through? And that in itself is an emotionally intelligent choice.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, like, thinking and emotion, that's where that connects.
Right.
And then another one's understanding that emotions transition, like predicting how emotions will lead to another, mm-hmm. and understanding complex emotion. And then the last branch is strategy, like managing emotions in yourself and others. Mm-hmm. And how you teach all this is a whole different question.
What about like emotional awareness? Would that be like under pillar one? Is it a part of the overall intelligence? I guess. Makes sense.
You were totally following the pillars. Yeah. Emotional awareness would exactly be under pillar one. It would be identifying what am I feeling and being able to know that and use that in strategic decision making.
If I'm thinking about like how I'm, I love all that. And I feel like Joni and I tried to do that in our own lives and in situations. I think a lot of times people are thrown into certain situations quickly where they maybe don't have the time to prepare or be strategic or analyze, okay, if I exude this emotion, what the consequence is going to be. And sometimes they just shoot
from the hip, right?
So how, any recommendations for that situation?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah. Oh, that is such a good question. Yeah, so leading back to emotional awareness, if you're in a situation that you can't prepare for, one of the traits of emotional intelligence is honoring, how do I put this? Being true and acknowledging, having awareness about your emotions, whether they are positive or negative, being open to all emotions. So if you are in a situation and you're saying, like, if you had to like shoot from the hip, you didn't have time to prepare. Well, you know what? Maybe I am pissed about this situation. And maybe my default, personally, I'm not pissed about this situation that we're in right now, by the way. But in the way you could use emotional awareness, if you are not able to prepare for a situation, someone who is emotionally intelligent identifies their own emotions and uses that as the compass, uses that as the pivot point. Gotcha. Like, rather than pushing them down and pushing them away, like, oh, I don't want to get emotional about this decision, you know, but rather acknowledging I'm angry. Why? What is that alerting me to? Okay, so that's an alarm bell. What action do I need to take?
Wow, that's
and
that's
I think
powerful.
Some people, like, I mean, I know for myself, sometimes I'll pause and I'll do that, and it probably the conversations are uncomfortable because there's these
silence.
Pause. Yeah, there's these pause, and people I think just try to fill that space. But to me, it's like me, you know, really trying to be intelligent about what I'm about to say or the response, and I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, teaching it is a whole nother thing, because I mean, I think that you and I do a good job of, you know, being aware of our emotions and adapting to it rather quickly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's we'll go into this in detail, but I think it's extremely important in your leadership team or in leadership in general. And how do you get your leaders, you know, to be emotional intelligent?
Yeah. So how, explain that. Give us the assessment on how can we impact our leadership team or our leadership in our organization and propel them. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when you're in teaching in leaders, you want to, like, you can't teach emotional intelligence without experience, like without teaching it in an experiential way. Okay. So for example, pillar one that we were talking about, identifying other people's emotions. This is something that it can be a great pitfall if you do not accurately identify your employees' emotions. Because emotions are data. Like they are not something that distracts us. They're actually a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that you can teach emotional intelligence, like the first pillar, identifying emotion, is actually by observing different facial expressions and noting which emotions go along with them.
Right.
And so there's techniques out there, which I'll show you. There's one called Paul Ekman's website, which I'll remind you again about at the end, where you can actually watch emotions and correctly label them. But to put it in perspective, if I own a property management company, and let's say I want to upgrade my portfolio because maybe I've defined my niche a bit more, and I say, well, I have to do that thing where it comes to firing, quote unquote, some clients. And I am excited about this. And, you know, what if I walk into a leadership meeting with my staff and I say, okay, we're going to have to get on the phone, and these are the particular clients who don't meet this criteria. We're going to call them, let them know after their contract expires, we won't be, you know, servicing their property anymore. We won't be their property manager. Well, somebody has to make that phone call. And I, as the leader, might be very excited about this and very confident about this new change and this new direction of my business. And what if there's fear in the room? And what if my employees are showing fear on their face and maybe even saying, I'm scared that the clients are going to yell at me. Like, I don't necessarily want to make that. That's going to be a difficult phone call. Mm-hmm. Right there, the leader has a choice. They may recognize that this employee is fearful, mm-hmm. and be able to give them some coaching on, oh, you know, what are you afraid of? What do you think they're going to say? What's the worst they could say? Let's talk about how we would have that conversation. Mm-hmm. But what happens if the leader does not even recognize that fear at all? Or if the leader, the owner of the property management company says, you'll be fine, power through it, just give these people a call.
That's sometimes us.
I think that's a lot of owners, but it's like, grow up, deal with it.
Let's see what you do.
Mm. Oh, well, we need to push people out of their comfort zone. Right. That's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if at all, but if you recognize the fear, then you're able to address it, right?
Right.
Let me give you a sales example. Okay. When I would be selling RentScale and selling program to help property managers scale their companies, mm-hmm. I'd be doing consultative sales all the time. And the purpose of a sales meeting, right, is to figure out if the product is a good fit for the prospect that I'm talking to.
Right.
Just like when you mm-hmm. talk to a potential property management client. So if I say to somebody, if you sign up for our program, you can expect, based on what you've told me, I think you can expect at least 10 new customers a month. Mm-hmm. If they show fear versus if they show surprise, my conversation is going to go as a salesperson in two very different directions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Right. So if they show fear, maybe they're not ready. They're afraid to grow. Mm-hmm. They're maybe not a good client, you know, because they don't actually want to grow their company. So it's going to be a difficult engagement. And maybe they need to, you know, set up their operation
right
to be able to handle growth. Versus if they're surprised, like, wow, I can get 10 new clients. I'm going down the path of here's how we can help you. Mm-hmm. So if I misinterpret that on their face as surprise, mm-hmm. that fear, or if I don't pay attention, what's going to happen? If I think like there's like if they do fear and they do fear and I think it's surprise, I misinterpreted that data. Right. I am now telling them all about how we're gonna get them so many more customers and I'm scaring my prospects.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
That's why identifying is really important.
Do you find that in sales though? It's there's two questions that I got multiple questions that popped up with all that, but that was awesome. And thank you for sharing that. Now I'm going to lose it. The first question was like, do you think that's natural ability? I think you made it, but I think sometimes as like owners or sales managers, we just hire these people or looking for them with natural ability mm-hmm. that I think they do it without even knowing they're doing that. The good ones, but I think you can it be taught? Can you increase it? Can you teach what you just did with, you know, recognizing those situations? And then my follow-up question is how often do you misinterpret the emotion or do people, when you're in that situation, do sometimes people give missed clues to you that when you're trying to read it, do they maybe, do people hide it? I gave you like three questions, but then all that's a lot. That was a lot. Very loaded question.
No, Sean, I'm with you. Yeah. It is such a critical question because who cares if you can measure emotional intelligence if you can't help people get better at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my answer is yes. I have made my life's work out of help. First of all, researching whether it's possible, okay. and then helping to, this has been my passion, mm-hmm. though I've been in all sorts of business situations in the last 10 years, right? Which helped me apply this.
But I think you've learned so much from it, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because like I said, it's as you're building and these, you cannot learn it without experience. Mm-hmm. So now I have all these, the bucket of experience to apply all this emotional intelligence research I've done. So the answer is yes, you can increase your emotional intelligence skills. Back when it may be like 40 years ago, when the term first came out, there was a theory that this is like IQ, mm-hmm. like EQ is like this is permanent. Mm-hmm. The better analogy now, which as research shows, is that it's more like language learning. Mm-hmm. And having higher emotional intelligence gives you a greater facility. If I were dropped off in the middle of a town where I didn't speak the language, I'm going to have trouble getting by. I'll get by, but I'm going to have trouble. Right. So some of, and we all have it on a spectrum. So some of us have more of it than others. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is not a charisma that you are blessed with, right? You might either because of nature or nurture we were born with more of a predisposition to being able to recognize emotions and manage them, mm-hmm. but also maybe it's our modeling and the environment we grew up in, mm-hmm. you know, in our life. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can teach them. And the first one, yes, you can teach these skills. Yeah. And you had a follow-up question, so I wanted to make sure I got to it.
Oh, go for it. What was the question? Now I'm losing it.
But
it was impossible
to increase the skills.
Yeah, she said yes, but then it was, I also wanted to know in regards to sales, the natural ability, which you talked about, yes, people are predisposed and yes, they can learn it. And then about reading that wrong, and then do you find that sometimes people mask the emotion when you're trying to read it? And then is there a way salespeople can maybe go a step further to really recognize that?
100%. Okay. So let's talk about the teaching of it. Let's do it by four branches. When you teach recognizing emotions, there are actually universal expressions of emotion for at least six emotions. There's anger, there's surprise when the eyes go up, there's anger, there's sadness. So you can actually, I've studied micro expressions, and they are quick flashes of emotion that people make on their face universally across all cultures, all continents, and you can be trained in observing them. Mm-hmm. So there's people out there who do not need this training at all. They inherently, they know, right? There's other people so they might be doing it to really level up, to really thrive. There's other people on a different end of the spectrum who may not know. And once you teach them, they are able to recognize that mm-hmm. expression. So through body language, you can teach emotion, recognizing emotion. Also tuning into yourself. Like you said, Sean, you take a pause. Mm-hmm. Maybe it makes the conversation uncomfortable, but I think that's okay. I think that's you, the way you just described it to me, it's you pausing to tune in with what you are feeling, what you're thinking, and to be most authentic as mm-hmm. you speak. So you can teach people to recognize other people's emotions. You can also teach people to do that strategy that you do and tune into themselves. And then when it comes to empathizing and really strategizing around which emotion is the best one for this situation, mm-hmm. That is something that I teach people through mapping out situations and scenarios, like actually playing out that scenario and saying the phrase that they know they have to go in that meeting and say it with a disgust attitude, mm-hmm. and then say it with like a sad attitude or say it with like a confident attitude, and then notice, what do you think is going to happen when you say it that way? You know, we as salespeople, we often have scripts or key language that we use. So practicing hearing yourself taking on an emotion and saying that same line that you know you're going to say in 90% of your sales consultation mm-hmm. from different emotions, you can really help someone to hear how they feel saying it, whether it feels authentic to them, and also imagine, more importantly, how is that going to impact your prospect?
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely know you can afford this. I mean, who says that? You know, like that's not something we want to say, right? But what would you want to say? I absolutely know this product is going to increase your business revenue. I absolutely know it's going to. You know, those are two different things to say. And those, when you merge it with different emotions, you know, you might say, okay, well, just give me a call back. Let me know when you're ready. Or you might say, okay, just give me a call back. Let me know when you're ready. You know? And so you could teach people to play around with this and how it's, you know, it's fun. Which emotion are we going to layer onto that line and see? Yeah.
I think this is extremely important. I mean, this is great. I think, you know, in our organization, you know, I see, because we're hit with, in property management, we're hit with difficult conversations all the time. And, you know, we have our customer service workshop where we try to, you know, give them scripts on how to say things and to have these difficult conversations. But if you're really not feeling the emotion, I mean, just it coming out, you know, wrong, it could really set the tone, right? So I think this is extremely important to be able to teach this.
And you know what, Joni, like you just brought up difficult conversation. That is exactly where this matters. I don't want listeners to think that we need to always be hyper self-conscious, right, of how we're emotionally coming across. When does it matter the most? Like exactly during the times you just said. Mm-hmm. You need to prepare, humans need to prepare for difficult conversations.
Right.
Or they wouldn't be difficult conversations, right? I don't know if you have a specific one that is coming to mind that you, or I just wanted to highlight that this is a training. We all need training on difficult conversations, no matter who we are. Like they are difficult and they often have business consequences.
I agree. And I think that if you can learn how to have those difficult conversations with people, I think that's just boosts your confidence, you know? And I think it's natural for us to shy away from dealing with these difficult conversations, and because you don't want to deal with, nobody wants to deal with it. But once you recognize the emotion and you know, you figure that piece out, then I think you just boost your confidence naturally.
Yes. Yes. And then you have to prepare less and less, right? Like, yes, it is. I was a fitness trainer. You mentioned that I ran fitness gyms, mm-hmm. and that happens to be because I was a personal trainer during grad school. And I believe that it's the same kind of training muscle, like that we all require. Mm-hmm. Training muscle. Yeah. It's just like training a muscle to have a difficult conversation. And you're more likely to avoid it if you don't. And when I work with people, I give them a system to prepare, mm-hmm. to prepare for the difficult conversation. And it's teaching emotional intelligence through body language. And you have to do it. You have to identify what emotion is coming out, which emotion you want to come out. Like maybe you're coming across as disgusted and you're not, or maybe you're coming across as scared and you're not, you're actually really trying to drive your initiative through. And then you have to actually, the second step is reprogramming. Like how do we decide what would be better for this situation? And what does that look like in my body language, my face, posture, breath, movement, tone of voice? And actors do it all the time. People in business don't get that kind of training, right? All the time.
It's awesome. And it's so not taught. And that's the biggest.
Right.
People just don't, like, you just tell people to put up with it, or people get angry or frustrated, or, and it's like, no, like you could, Joni and I had a conversation about this is starting even with our kids, you know, just to understand their emotions and
how they're feeling
and how to deal with it and how to, cause golly, if I would have figured this out so much earlier mm-hmm. in life, how much further ahead it'd have been a more enjoyable high school experience than what I went through. But and so we're trying to teach them, you know, okay, here's the emotion you're feeling. Why are you feeling that emotion? And a lot of it's just awareness. And I think maybe, especially with kids, just they don't even realize that they're either demonstrating or feeling it. But
yeah, no, I think it's great. And, you know, I would like to, so how can, because I think a lot of companies struggle with this, you know, and Sean and I are all about personal development and wanting to help our company grow as leaders. And so how can we practically take this back to our team and say, okay, let's, what are some skills that we can teach you, you know, practical skills that we can teach you so to help them improve mm-hmm. that emotion intelligence?
Okay, great. Well, most of them involve body language, not all of them. So I'm going to tell you, the first one is if you are wondering what somebody is feeling when you're talking to them, one strategy that you can use if you're in the middle of this, like maybe a little tense moment comes up in the sales conversation or in the customer service conversation, performance review, what have you. If you are wondering what they are feeling, imitating their face, now not mocking them, but a sign of empathy is when you make a face and I also make that face. That is, as long as you don't do it like a cartoon, right?
So kind of mirroring them, right? Mirroring what they do.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
If you mirror someone's face, you're showing that you're listening. And here's a trick, a strategy. You also start to feel it a little bit. So if you make a sad face and I make a sad face, I'm going to start to feel it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So simply by, this is one of many strategies, but simply mirroring someone's expression a bit can, even their body language, you know, can kind of teach you what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Sense into what you feel as you mirror them. It can clue you in to what they are feeling. And then have you heard of the Plutchik emotion wheel?
No. Sounds interesting.
This is particularly, emotion wheels are more known with children. So since you were talking about kids, I wanted to tell you about this wheel if you didn't know. So this is how you can learn emotion granularity. You can learn to articulate your emotions better. And so here's what the wheel looks like. You've got the big major emotions, anger, sad, happy, surprise, all of these, but then you've got lots of gradations like concerned, you know, uncertain, uneasy. And if you can share this with your teams, and even in a fun way, I know they have kid versions, share them with your kids. when you encourage your team, like, okay, tell us how you feel. We really want you to tell us how you feel. You know, sometimes people will say, I feel angry or I feel sad. And those are higher groups. When you can be granular with how you describe your emotion, you can better communicate to other people, but also can help you kind of solve. So if I like have an employee, I feel like I'm going to do a sticky situation. Let's say my employee is maybe trying to pitch my services to my client. Like they're trying to steal this client from me, for example. And I'm angry. I am angry. Well, let's make that more granular. I'm betrayed. I'm defeated. I'm concerned about my business. So that, I know that's like an extreme example, but those concerned, betrayed, defeated, those can help us solution around really what I'm feeling, you know? So I'm going to share this emotion wheel with you because you can encourage people to use that vocabulary.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it was a lot. There was a lot there, but you know, on mirroring and then like a banana, like peeling down the layers of to getting to the real root or the real emotion, I think, so that you know how to resolve it or come up with a solution.
Absolutely. Well, it's kind of funny too. So Sean and I took an improv class. About a year ago. And some of these, training things that you're teaching, you are telling us right now is kind of what we learned in improv.
Yeah.
You and Sean are so widely varied in your professional development in improv. That's amazing.
It was recommended by somebody and, David Phelps, who's been on the podcast a couple episodes ago, but yeah, it was one of the best experiences that Joni and I have ever gone through as far as for us personal development wise. And I highly recommend it to anybody, but I think it goes along a lot with your
it's really theatrical. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Exercises.
Oh my gosh. It is why emotive agility training fuses like theater techniques, but modifies them for non-actors. And rarely do non-actors go to improv classes. Right. It's only like professionals go to improv classes when their company signs them up for one or when they're exceptional like you. Like, you know, and I'm not saying that to flatter you, I'm saying because you're looking for new things to develop your skills. You're out there seeking. But I wanna bring theater as, you know, into emotional fitness basically, and that's what I am I have set up with emotive agility training. Yes.
So tell us about that. So now that you brought it up, what is it? What is your company? What services do you guys provide?
Yeah, and how can our listeners kind of get involved with you?
Sure. Emotive agility is emotional intelligence overlaps with body language. It's the intersection of emotional intelligence and body language. So it is, if we have a Venn diagram, it's like emotions, thoughts, and body language. Mm-hmm. So it's this ability we all have to leverage the power of body language to shift our own emotions and impact the outcome of any conversation or presentation. So I'm saying, right? Because that's what I call emotive agility. Uh-huh. Emotive agility training is the technique that I use to teach emotional intelligence skills. So I do that for people who wanting to be better at presenting. Mm-hmm. So those kind of conversations or pitches or public speaking talks, sales pitches or investor pitches that you can prepare for. And then I do that for people who are wanting to work on their own emotional growth and they want to be able to be more focused on their mental wellness, be able to regulate the intensity of their emotions, mm-hmm. Want to reduce anxiety and be more confident. Mm-hmm. So I have courses and coaching, and I'm launching a public speaking club for women pretty soon, a boot camp.
Yay, I will be totally interested in that. So yes, let me know when that comes out, because that is, I just think what you're doing, Barrett, is fascinating. And when you told me about it, I was like, wow, this is great. And I think everybody needs this, and every, you know, woman needs this for their confidence and their self-esteem. I mean, I think it's, what you're doing is great.
So Joni was just looking for something like that. No, mm-hmm. That's amazing that you're putting, because you were just looking about a speaking event or.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that's cool.
Yeah. So I think, so for those of you listening, Barrett, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Sure. So companies interested in trainings can email me at Barrett@emotiveagility.com or through my website. And then any professionals looking for personal development, reducing anxiety, increasing confidence, on my website, there's a guide. And so it's emotiveagility.com/Rasa. So they can get a free guide, and it shows you an introduction on how to use the theater technique that I based my training on in your everyday conversation. Wow. And present. That's so great. That way they'll be on my email list and know right away when I launch the public speaking bootcamp, which is perfect. TBD.
That's great. Yeah. So we will also have this all in the show notes for everybody, so to access your information rather quickly. So, I'm super excited to see what you have. And I think everybody could use this, and I'm definitely going to take advantage of it. So thank you for that, Barrett.
Thank you. Thank you both, because I've been so inspired by you since I met you in the last 2 years and watching your business growth and development. So you two are really entrepreneurs that inspire me, especially with your success in business and your work-life balance. I think it's beautiful. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. Yeah. We really appreciate that. And you've been a big, huge help for us as well when you're with RentScale. So extremely excited, for what you're doing though.
Yeah. And we look, I think we're going to be, participant at your events and getting involved. So we look forward to doing more work with you and hopefully improving our emotional intelligence with our organization, with ourselves, and so our kids. So, we're looking forward to doing a lot more with this. So thank you for everything you shared. If there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. We'll put everything in the show notes. We're looking forward to having our listeners participate with you in your events coming up. And so, we're excited.
Yes. So thanks, Barrett.
I'm so glad we are interconnected. So it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, everybody, please share this. I think there's a lot of people that can benefit from emotional intelligence training and development. So please share this with somebody that you think might need more information. We hope you got a lot from it.
Can use this.
Yes, everybody.
Everybody has difficult conversations.
Exactly.
Everybody.
You can't go through life without a difficult conversation. So
it's daily for us.
So thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
See ya.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.